Welcome to the FT Alliance podcast series on fashion tech and recruitment processes. This podcast is with Enrico Cazzoni, the Senior Engineer and Research and Development Project Manager at Grado Zero, in conversation with Dr. Michel Donjou, the Research and Knowledge Exchange Coordinator at London College of Fashion.
Welcome, Enrico.
Good morning.
Good morning. So please can you start, Enrico, by telling us a little bit more about yourself, the type of work you do and your background, and also providing a short introduction to the company Grado Zero.
Yes, for sure. My name is Enrico Cozzoni. I'm the R&D manager of Grado Zero. Grado Zero is a small group of SME, free SME, Italian SME, located, the headquarters is close to Florence, 24 kilometers from Florence, so Tuscany, center of Italy. We deal by almost 25 years in R&D, prototyping, and scaling up products in different domains of the industry, mainly fashion and consumer goods.
Okay.
How the company are differentiated. Grado Zero Space, that is the first company that was founded at the end of the 90s. It born as a spin-off of a R&D department of an important textile company.
Okay.
We are located not far from Prato. Prato is the bigger European textile district that is can count more than 10,000 small company all mm-hmm. involved in the textile value chain. So this is how Grado Zero Space was born. The name at the beginning, why a space? Because at the beginning, we worked a lot in the framework of the European Technology Transfer Program of European Space Agency. Which was the idea of this program and why we were involved? We were involved in showing how high-tech materials can be used in everyday life. It means that they give us a subject that was a material. We develop and realize prototypes showing how these materials that span from aerogel, hydrogel, shape memory material, pneumatic elastomers. So what was the high-tech world in terms of materials development? We showed how this material can be used in everyday life.
This is so very interesting. I mean, the whole sort of importance of this research and development aspect as well. And this is why we're very keen to talk with you today, because as you know, we're focused on trying to understand better the ways we can then bring young talent into companies such as yours, where these kind of innovative skills and knowledge are required, and certain approaches. So with a focus on the kinds of work you do and the ways you need to seek young talent, can we look at maybe how human resources are embedded into your company and the kinds of recruitment strategies you use? So I'd be interested for you to tell us a little bit about how your company normally recruits for the kinds of positions you might wish to fill at Grado Zero.
Yeah. Being a small company or a small group of companies, Grado Zero Space that I described as around 10 employees, Grado Zero Innovation, that is the new company that was born around 2015, have the same, around 10 employees. The Grado Zero Innovation is more dedicated to designing consumer goods, especially fashion, in fashion and smart wearable, fashion tech, but strongly devoted to product, while Grado Zero Space is more devoted to R&D on materials and technology. Last one is an e-commerce that we have that is dedicated to sustainable material, and the name is Life Materials. So how we recruit? Being a small company, being a group of small companies, we do not have an office dedicated to human resource. But the responsible of the companies and department for what regards materials and technology, I'm the responsible, usually meet together and understand how manage internally the resources and if additional resources are needed. Usually, this is the way we have always worked. We have a strong link with university, university and research center. This means that a lot of university are proposing us possibility to have internship, usually starting at master level, doctorate level, or postdoctorate level. This year, for the first time, we take an internship at bachelor level, but it is not usually in our company. So the first way of recruiting, it is exactly using the source, this type of source, so the academic proposals that we have from different university, different research center in Europe. Also in UK or in France or in Germany, Spain, France, Germany, UK, Belgium are the most, and Italy for sure are the most the where we have our network more strongly rooted. So this is the way our first direction of recruitment at junior level. At senior level, this is completely different. At senior level, we usually or use external agency that are proposing us some specific candidates, or, for example, some professional network. Last employees that were recruited were selected from LinkedIn. So, but it is usually a mix of these two type of means. Originally, it was more agency. Now, with the maybe social media, it is something professional social media, professional network. It is, yes, something that we started to use.
So this is so very interesting to hear how you work with your networks and also your close relations with higher education institutions. And as you are aware from the work you have done with us in the FT Alliance project, many companies are using different challenges to find the right talent and to bring the right talent and the right skill sets on board. We talked about hackathons. We talked about Pachacucci methods of presenting for applicants, projects based on a brief, etc. And so you're saying that your particular method is this idea of an internship. And I'm very keen to know a little bit more about how you might recruit interns. You know, what kind of interview process does that involve, or any other ways of selecting the right applicants?
Okay. As you told, our process is not too much different from other companies. Maybe the only difference, but this is something that at least I have experienced, but maybe also other companies are doing like us. We usually we select from first interview, going to look at the skills, classical selection method through one or two interviews, usually is through two interviews, senior positions, also free interviews. What is important to us is to understand if the candidate has the abilities and capabilities to work in our system. That means to work with the timing we have, with the procedures we have, with the way of working we have. Because we are covering all the value chain, from the material supply chain, very often, till the end of life of the products, because we have a sustainability and life cycle engineering department. It means that we deal with all the value chain, not necessarily only the design, not necessarily only the production. So, and this means that usually our candidates need to understand, at least understand, all the value chain of a product. So what we do, usually we do a very simple internship in which the candidate is dedicated to work, is the maximum last is 6 months, is dedicated to work on a specific project in which we try and we try the candidates and we understand how his or her is managing the work. The candidate has a tutor, and with the tutor is managing parts that can be smaller or bigger of a project. But this project is a real project. It is not an exercise we made simply for testing the candidate, but we put the candidate, the person, to directly work in a real-world project. And this is extremely important, because especially at junior level, we looked at there is a huge difference between what they learn at academic level, university level, and the way they need to use their capabilities, their abilities, their skills into a real-world project in which they have to solve problem, in which you have a timing, in which you have to manage some resources, in which you have some responsibility in meeting the requirements of the work that is given to you.
Yes, it sounds like a fantastic opportunity, and also a very good way for Grado Zero to assess the skills and talents of an individual, and it also enables you, I guess, to delve deeper. You know, I was wondering in terms of, you know, getting that greater insight into the potential of an applicant or future recruit, how you do find ways to delve deeper into that person's capabilities. I mean, do you have any specific things that you do on these internships to enable you to assess the talent?
Usually, before assigning the person to a specific work, we try, and that's why it is important, the interview, it is important, the discussion, understanding the skills, for sure, looking at the curricula, the resume, this is important. All this, we try to figure out how the candidate can be used or can work at his or her best in a project. That's our experience. What does it mean? Consider that we very often change. We very often change person. Consider that one project internally has a span between 1 and 3 years. What does it mean, project? So you can understand. Project, it is something in which we have a contract with a customer that is a business customer, and we have to develop and deliver a technology, a material, a prototype, a device. Okay? So, this is a different level. What does it mean? It can be at the level of feasibility study. The customer come to us and ask, please study for me the feasibility of the application of that material in our product. And this is the product. Okay. Or more, we have to develop, or in this direction, we have to develop, design a new product. We would like to use that material, or we would like to use that technology, or how we can use that material or that technology. Can you show us some design concept of products in which we can use? These are typology of project. So we understand the skills, capability. We understand which are the projects in which it can be introduced, and we train at the beginning 1-2 months of training, especially if the candidate he or she is requested to use specific tools. I don't know, 3D modeling or some simulation tools or other typology of tools. So there is a period of training, and during this training there is also a sort of learning how to work and communicate with the other members of the teams. And after, we give the responsibility. And that is the fundamental point in which we test. We give to the candidate the responsibility to manage his or her own work. And in this way, you can really and clearly understand also which are, maybe sometimes you look at the capability of that person, maybe in that specific direction or work in which he or she candidates, it is not good, but it is good in other typology, yes, of work.
Yes.
And very often this happens.
And just as an interesting point, when you've had a young person or a graduate come as an intern to the company, do you tend then to offer them a more permanent position? If as you're saying, work is tends to be project-based, do you then maybe look to bring them on board in a future project? Or you know, does that tend to happen as a result of having an internship with Grado Zero?
Often we offer a permanent position. Sometimes we propose for permanent position in, because maybe we see that our he or she is not maybe in line with our company, but we look very interesting perspective, and we know that some partners of our network is looking for that typology of position. We also propose very often, this happens. If we see that there is a value in the candidate, we support him or her in all the way that we can, because we really believe that this is the way in which we can improve the quality of the overall work that we are doing.
Yes, which is our ultimate aim in this project, where we're linking academia and industry to really look at the ways we can enhance both areas, and you know, push the industry forward, push the kind of research and development forward by bringing in the right talent. And I think these opportunities you provide sound like a perfect way to really delve into a candidate's potential to work with the company and with the projects you undertake. You also mention, and I only want to touch on this very briefly, that the idea of looking at more senior levels of recruitment, and you mentioned the interview as being part of that. I mean, could you say just a small amount about the kinds of interview processes you would involve to bring somebody in at a more senior level?
Senior level is more complicated. Why? Because at a junior level, you are expecting to have a traineeship, you are expecting to have an internship, you are expecting to have a training part, you are expecting, and the candidate, the person can be modeled, because he's usually younger, can be modeled on the necessity of the company. At senior level, it is more difficult. And this is also why we usually, it doesn't happen very often that we hire people are senior level, but we prefer to take a junior, grow inside the company, and create internally our senior as we want. It is difficult. It is difficult. Why? Because first, for sure, the curricula, the resume, the experience has more weight. So you look the companies, the experience, the projects, and so on. Has less weight the internship, because usually when we take seniors, we in 1 month we immediately put to work in a team or in managing tasks with higher responsibility. And this is it is difficult. What does it mean? We have tried also to change very often the way in which we make the interview, in which we test the skills, but especially the way in which the individual, the person is working. Why? Because at senior level, you are going to introduce an important person inside the team that has already some communication and procedure developed. And this is not easy to test, because you can tell, okay, you are using that type of log tools or that type of scheduling tools or something like that. But after you put to work with other person and you see that it is not immediately, it doesn't immediately happen that he or she start to link and work in an effective way with the rest of the team, especially for a company small like our company, because a lot of senior level that we interviewed, for example, come from bigger company in which the work is put in a box. You are very good, but you are very good to do these things. And in our company is a bit more complicated, because they have to deal with more than one task. And one of the most big difficulties we have faced is that usually the candidate, the person, the individual, they are coming to you and telling, but you hire me for these skills. And I very often answer, yes, but you have the capability to be more flexible in your work, because you need to have this capability, especially when you work in complex project in which you need to have the overall view of the products or of the technology.
Yes, so that multi-skilled, flexible approach is crucial.
Fundamental for small, medium company are fundamental.
Yes, so this is really clear, and it's really helpful in a way for young people listening to this podcast to understand how they might progress with, you know, working with a company like yours.
And flexibility, thinking, yes. Want to learn. You need to have the attitude. There is in Italian doesn't exist a word like in English that is attitude. You need to have the attitude to learn, because the work in R&D, in fashion tech, is a continuous learning, because technology are evolving, products are evolving, the materials are evolving, the way in which we use, the way in which we apply, the way in which we recycle, we reuse. So the overall life cycle is a continuous learning.
Yes, it is. It's never-ending, shifting, dynamic. Yes. I understand, and you know, we need to make sure our young graduates really do understand the importance of that. And I think this conversation is going to be so helpful. And one of the things I'd like to also ask you, while we're on the subject of recruitment interviews, is you know, has the pandemic made many changes for you in terms of how you recruit, the digital recruitment methods that you've used? Have things shifted much for you in that respect?
You know, the pandemic has slowed down everything. the business, the production, the development, everything. It means that also the necessity of a new person is going down. During the pandemic, we have had only one internship in 2 years. Now we are restarting. Now in this period we are restarting. We are arriving four new person with different skills from design, engineering, material science, and graphic designer, we can call in that way. But in the last 2 years, it was really slowed down, really slowed down. So no one at senior level, only one at junior level. It was made by normal web interview, but we are not expecting too much because we knew that it is difficult to assess the person in a web interview. So we simply we were confident to be able to manage the training, and it was in this way, but we limited only to one person. That's why, because also because the business was really slowed down.
Yeah, yeah. And so probably just listening to what you're saying, it may be that you wouldn't want to retain these online modes of recruitment post-pandemic. I mean, is it some? Did you learn anything that you would like to continue with through this experience?
For sure, a part of this recruiting procedure, it is continuing because we are not completely come back at the in the world that was before COVID. Maybe we never will come back. So for sure, also in the way in which we approach the person that are coming to work with us is growing, is changing, is evolving. For sure, the web interview, it is an important part we have added. We have also added some, for example, we have developed some specific webinar. A part of our training now, it is online. We have made some online courses, for example, for CAD design, for example, for 3D design, for example, for digitalization of materials. We have made, so part of our training is shifted on online training. And this is part of the evolution of the way in which we recruit the person that are coming to work with us in our company, in our group, and the same, the way in which we train. Because these two things are coming together, are extremely linked.
Yes, so perhaps the positive outcome of learnings from the pandemic and things to continue with.
Yes,
and
it's the adaptation.
Yes.
It's the adaptation to the situation.
Yes, and if we talk about that adaptation and particularly this kind of focus you have on training and skills development, if we think about how young people, young graduates are coming to you, you know, traditionally it would have been enough, say, for somebody to be trained in as a fashion designer or pattern cutter with these kind of traditional skills. But now it seems the focus is much more on having that understanding of digital product development and specific digital skills and knowledge. And I'm just wondering, you know, where the balance is for you between bringing somebody in with already those existing skills or seeing the potential and the aptitude and attitude to learn and saying, okay, we will develop you in these areas through our training programs. You know, how important is it for the company to have the candidate already with the right mix of skills, traditional and digital?
It is extremely important that it is not easy. A sort of hybrid, digital and operative or manual, because in fashion, a lot of things are manually done. It means we continue to sew the fabric, we continue to cut the fabric. So, and you know, it is not so, maybe a lot of at least at a junior level, a lot of candidates are very good skilled in digital tools, not too much skilled in practical practical tool. It means that, for example, they some of them have never seen how a garment is assembled or is made. Okay? So, and this is important. It is important why? Because if you know how a thing is done, you will be a better designer of that thing. Okay? Then this is extremely important. So, is it needs a good balance between digital skill and practical skill. This is something that usually the candidate is going to have inside the company, because I understand that not all, and also the academic path are different, Italy, UK, so I understand it is not always it is possible to have teach practical skills, but the practical skills are important. Especially at designing level. If you want to be a good designer, you need to know how the product that you are designing is made.
Yes, and to have the experience of that. Yes, I fully understand that. So it's very interesting to hear about this skills mix and that combination of digital training and practical skill. If we can talk a little bit about the internal training you offer, and perhaps now look less at the harder skills and think more of the softer skills and the creativity that might be required here. What kind of qualities and soft skills and potentials interest you and Grado Zero in the applicant beyond those specific to the role? I mean, we've touched a little bit on some of them, but what do you really look for? You mentioned working together and earlier on, but could you say a little bit more about the soft skills and the importance of them, please?
Okay, for sure, to be able, this is not easy, to be able to work in a team. And it seems silly to tell, to be able to work in a team, but it's not easy to find. So working in team nowadays for every project, product, technology, it is fundamental. Because the product, the technology are complex. You cannot think to do all by yourself. You are not able to reach anything. So working in team is fundamental. Working in teams, it means communication first, to be able to link your work with the work of other people that are coming before you and after your work. So to be able to integrate your task responsibility into the work of the team. This is very important. Creativity, it is fundamental for a designer, need to be creative. But creativity and I would like to add this, creativity in problem solving. What does it mean? The way in which I usually test creativity is in the way a person is going to solve a problem. So for me, the creativity, it is not only to, for example, develop a very new design or something exotic or something like that. This is important. It is important, but it is not something, okay, I designed something unique. I always tell, okay, ask to yourself it has a meaning. Some designer, younger especially, come to me and tell me, no one has made that before. Okay, ask to yourself why no one. So you are doing something good because can be something good, but not necessarily. So it is important, the creativity, fundamental for a designer. It is important that the designer also apply this creativity in problem solving. So to be able to visualize, but also practically solve a problem using the creativity you have, it means also the skills that you have learned in your academic path or in your professional path. Because we never stop to learn, as I told you before, and especially we learn to anyone. That's why it is important in working. You learn from a junior, you learn from a senior. Also, if I am now, I have more than 20 years of experience. I every day learn something new, not necessarily to persons that are at the same level than me, but also by junior or by other colleague or by other partners in my network. And to be curious, to be open, to learn and to understand different perspective, it is fundamental. So this is these are for me the soft skill more important.
I think it's so important what you say here, and I think, you know, the open-mindedness to continue learning and to learn from all levels is a really important insight that you've shared here for us to think about. And if we were to now look at the kind of support you could give or the kind of things you could advise students to think about in terms of preparation for working with a company like GradoZero, you know, we've touched on lots of things, but how do you think they could prepare themselves better to pitch their ideas or demonstrate their skills or their entrepreneurial mindset and innovative ideas? What sorts of things could they be doing, you know, during their education that kind of prepares them ready for this next step into an internship, for example?
According to me, they should have some objectives. What does it mean? At least this is what I have done in my education path. I always, when I started something new, that I always planned the objective that I have at the end of that path. This is extremely important because you are focused. So according to me, to be focused on their education and on what they want to be, a designer, an engineer, a mathematician, everything you want to be a professional, okay, understand your objective, be focused on your objective. What I see today is that there are some professional, junior, senior person that if you ask, please describe what you are as professional, are not so good to describe that. It means that maybe because I don't know, and this is the opposite. Before we have spoken about flexibility, okay? Pay attention. There is always a trade-off. To be flexible, to be too much flexible, it also means you lose your focus. So pay attention. On the other side, to be too much focused, it means you are less flexible. It is a trade-off of both. But be focused, be flexible, but always focused on your professional skills. If you are a designer, you are a designer. If you are an engineer, you are an engineer. So, and you need to have some professional capabilities and abilities to work and deal with the task you are doing in your daily life work.
Okay, so that focus, but with flexibility and to understand the area you would like to be in. You know, you
exactly.
say if you're a designer,
exactly.
you're a designer, but you have this openness as well.
Yes, and entrepreneurship. This is something that I'm sorry, maybe I'm the voice outside outside the core, but I discourage a junior to think in an entrepreneurship level because he or she doesn't have the capability for doing that. This is something you can start to think acquiring experience. Okay? This is something, if you have an idea, it's very good, but please test your idea. And the only way to test your idea is you want to do, doing your company, prototyping it. Try to figure out where your idea can bring, where you can go with your idea. And after, start to think in terms of business perspective that can be developed on your idea. And very often it is the opposite. Before the business perspective, no, this is wrong. This is wrong procedure. So, that's my personal suggestion.
It is a very interesting suggestion, and I guess when you say that you also look to recruit people with PhDs and also postdoctorates, then maybe at that stage they're much more familiar with that process of testing ideas and have developed through an experience of research and development an ability in a way to put into action some of these entrepreneurial ideas, perhaps at coming from undergraduate and master's level, it's still very early, as you say, to have sufficient knowledge.
It is good to have to be creative, have idea, but you need to test these ideas to be ready to put this idea in something that is close to a business. This is a fundamental. Sequence of steps you need to do for growing also as professional.
Yes, so the business awareness really, really crucial as well. And as we kind of move through this interview and looking at, the final couple of questions, I'm just wondering, how you attract this talent. You've talked a lot about links with networks, links with higher education institutions across Europe and including the UK. But I'm wondering, in terms of the job descriptions that your company write, what is important to capture in those descriptions in order to be able to then capture and attract the right future talent?
I believe in, I have my theory. But this is my theory. What does it mean? It is important, the job description. Yes, it is important, very especially to be clear with the candidate what you are looking for. Yes. But the best way for attractive also talent is in a way the company communicate the products and the company itself. Now, through the media, through your website, through the social media and so on. We, at least for us, it happens in this way that our designer or that want to work with us because they are fascinated by our products or by our prototypes because they like that specific product or that specific materials, and they would like to try their idea because we have also a lot of materials. They have an idea of products they would like to use our materials for developing these ideas. So for me, there is no better way of clearly presenting the what you can offer to an employee, that the products, the developments, the way in which you communicate the companies, okay? At least for a company small like we are, a group very small like we are less than 50 persons, so it is really small in terms of number of employees.
So in a way, you're saying that, yes, the job description is important, but actually the way you reach out and inform people of the work in a way gives them that understanding already of why it would be attractive for them to come to Graduate Zero Is that what you're saying? It's important to be clear in the job description, but beyond that, it's important to attract talent through the networks and through the way the company is communicating, ongoing.
Yes, because the job description can summarize what you are requesting, but cannot summarize the work better than a product that you make. So is
yes. So I'm wondering, what the future of the job description might be, in these kind of scenarios. That's an interesting thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you can show a product and you can write, are you able to do this?
Yeah, perhaps like that. If it's very much targeted at project-based recruitment. And finally, we're just looking at this issue of very, very important critical subject of equity, diversity and inclusion, and of companies recognizing the importance now more and more of how their future success depends on a diverse workforce. And that no one size fits all solution to attracting and recruiting future talent. I mean, you've kind of already, in a way, discussed that, which is really, really very, very nice. But I'm just wondering how you proactively work to firstly champion diversity and inclusion. We can say within the job descriptions you write or, beyond that. And secondly, how do you provide equitable processes for all applicants to ensure they are evaluated in a way that excludes any form of bias? So, it's complex, as we know.
Yes, this last is extremely complex because you don't have any type of validation about that. You cannot, that doesn't exist any type of proof about that. But what we do, consider that at the moment, for example, we are engaged in a very interesting project in responsible research innovation, in which exactly our work is evaluating how the practice of responsible research innovation, so we means gender equality, public engagement, ethical thinking, and so on. So are six keys, if I remember well, are included in the innovation process, and which can be the impact of these keys into the innovation process. So this is something that it is familiar to us. It means that what I mentioned before, for example, the part related to have a sort of ethical code of behavior. This is extremely important to us. Or the gender equality, or give to any employee the same possibility and try to grow specifically, because we have, every people is different, the skills and the capability of that person. Maybe since we are small, it is more easy for us. Okay? I guess that in a bigger company, it is a bit more complicated. And this is something that we try to, it is part of the training. It means that we try to immediately try to put these values, these keys directly into the training of the employees. It is not always easy. The validation, it means you want to be sure that you are applying the same possibility for everyone. I guess to not have bias, this is complicated. We always very often try to this is something we try to have a discussion with our employees. So it is important for us to understand if they feel themselves satisfied by the work that they are doing, or maybe they feel frustrated because there are part of the work that they really don't understand or don't like. So we try to have this discussion, and through this discussion, we try to have a more smooth and easy way to progress together, to have an evolution together. But it is not always easy.
No,
it is not always easy.
And so what you're saying is that once somebody is there with you at Grado Zero, then you are working very, very closely with this kind of these EDI issues and the agenda. But just wondering, do you, and I know we've touched on whether you agree or not with the job description and what it entails, but do you put anything in particular into that job description that in a way helps to exclude any form of bias, or do you leave it quite open?
I mean, but not specifically, because for us it is already excluded. It means, please consider that a lot of our projects, and I really tell a lot, are pro bono projects. This means project for society. We developed a suite for Xeroderma pigmentosum, that is a disease of person that cannot stay under the UV rays. And we have developed suites for children, for giving them the possibility to make sports. This is an example. So a lot of our projects are linked to create some, and our pro bono project creates links with society and try to return part of the technology that we use in terms of societal benefits. So for us, this is something natural. We don't feel the necessity to put into the description. Maybe it is something wrong, but it is something that is coming natural. And often the some of the project in which, for example, junior employee are involved are project linked with that has results that are going to touch directly the society and the way in which people live, for example.
Yes. So people understand that as they're coming to the company, that the company is very much keen on the social dimension and the ethical dimension in the work that you do.
Every company needs to be. You are part of the society.
So it's really, really interesting what you say, and I'm, you know, keen to talk more, but we're coming close to the end of this now, or more or less to the end.
Only the last one. I was thinking, you know, there is a race, a yachting race, that is called Transat. Transat was not possible for women, because since Transat, you are alone in a boat. We developed a specific suite for giving women the possibility to make Transat. So the first woman that make the Transat make because we made this suite.
That's amazing. This kind of information is so interesting. And
it was in 2005. So
you're continually striving to make things more accessible to all, yes, and to eliminate this bias. And this is fantastic.
Yes, because evolution in technology, it also means to be more inclusive with society. This is an important evolution.
Yeah, and for any young graduates listening, their educators and the career services, I think, you know, these kind of exchanges are going to be so important to help them think more deep in a more detailed way about how to approach preparing themselves for recruitment in fashion tech and the future. And that basically brings us to the close. And I really thank you, Enrico, for your time and for these amazing insights into Grado Zero and the work you're doing. And it's just so interesting to hear how the projects are developing. So many thanks.
Thanks to you, and ciao.
Yeah, you too. Bye.